everybody, and welcome back to Love and Grip. I'm Laia.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Rachel.
On today's show, we speak to two Philly ladies garnering national attention. Variety magazine has dubbed Jennifer Westfall one of the 10 producers to watch 2020. And how did she get there in only 5 years? We want to know too. Esquire magazine has named Chef Nak Sutranan South Philly restaurant Kalea best new restaurant in 2020. What's her secret? We want to know that too. But let's get started with some of our Philly faves, all right? And the topic today is our favorite black and or brown owned business. I'll start actually with the beginnings of Love and Grit, one of our favorite and one of our first guests. Big ups to my girl Patrice, who owns the Girls Auto Clinic. First of all, go back and listen to that episode. Amazing. Remember that?
Like forever ago.
Oh my God, we actually went to her beautiful shop where she had like a whole nail salon and you can get your car fixed and for women to become more aware of their cars and everything. So yeah, the Girls Auto Clinic.
And she had a great book too to give you tips and everything that you could just keep in your glove compartment. So that's a good one. That's a great one.
So from the girls to the boys, men's fashion on Washington Square, Damari Seville. It's an amazing men's shop.
Following your lead, Justin, Blue Soul Shoes in Rittenhouse Square. They have great accessories, really cute socks, sharp looking shoes. So Blue Soul Shoes and wonderful customer service, which is also important.
Producer Jennifer Westfall's evolution into film is worthy of its own movie. She's an Iowa girl whose career in politics led her straight into a love affair with Philadelphia, which she would make her home and catalyst into film, producing award-winning diverse stories. And now she wants to help others get their voices heard.
Congratulations on being one of Variety's 10 producers to watch in 2020. How's that feel?
First of all, humbled to be a part of the team that they put together. I mean, these are really top producers in the field. And so to be recognized with them is really an honor, and also too exciting for us, especially at Wavelength, because when I started the company, I really dove in hard. I think we've made a name for ourselves in terms of not only the projects that we're involved with, but why we're involved, why these projects spoke to us. And that's been really a lot of fun.
Such amazing projects. I mean, the Won't You Be My Neighbor one. What was it like to work on a Mr. Rogers story?
Life-changing. I got involved with Sundance. They invited me to a thing called Catalyst. That was back in 2016. And I had already been going along with a couple of other films. And I met Morgan Neville and his team at Catalyst. I've loved all of Morgan Neville's films. Music for Strangers is one of my all-time favorites. What happened was it's sort of an invitation-only kind of thing to be a part of a film like that. So I sat down with them and said, listen, this is my first dive into being, you know, an executive producer in this kind of space. So if I come in to the film, can I be considered in EP school? And they were amazing. Seriously, I learned about filmmaking from the best. I've gone on to do other projects with his producers. And so it was a real family event.
I love when I'm seeing some of your interviews and statements in your bio is that you want to work with folks that have something freaking to say. Like, I got such a kick, and I'm using a nice word by saying freaking.
You know, it kind of came to us. We were working on our website and we were thinking about like the stories we tell, the projects we get involved with. And I said to my producing partner, so we like to tell great effing stories. Let's just say that. And by that, we mean we love that hardcore character driven space. I talk about it all the time. You know, you look at two of the big projects we got involved with. First was Won't You Be My Neighbor with Fred Rogers. And then look at Scotty in The Secret History of Hollywood and Scotty Bowers. Those are stories, and those are people that live in two very different zip codes. You know, let's just put it that way. But to us, they are the same. Back in the 60s, Fred Rogers doing the type of children's programming he did was considered radical. Mm-hmm. You know, Scotty Bowers, who back in the late 40s, 50s was basically like, listen, I just want gay men in Hollywood to find love. And I'm happy to be a part of that. These were actors, major actors that had to sign contracts to say they were straight. They had to marry women. They were forced to be who they weren't just for their stardom. So I felt like Scotty, especially, it's one of my favorite docs we've done, was really about there's more than one way to live a life. And to me, that's what documentary filmmaking is about, is to find those compelling characters and bring them to life as who they are in a very respectful way.
You aren't born and raised in Philadelphia. You're from Iowa, correct?
I'm originally from Northeast Iowa. Yep.
So tell a story. I'm curious at how film came in your life and how Philadelphia came in your life. Which one came first and how did they intertwine?
Philly came first. I was working on a national presidential campaign back in 83 and 84, the Mondale for President campaign.
Ha, Mondale. Yes.
Probably perfect. Before Rachel was born.
Yes.
Made her day.
She did. I was like, I don't have any makeup on. No, yes.
I was on the team where we came into states and we worked in the ground. And so I was brought into Philadelphia back in the April of 1984 for the primary. It was love at first sight. Again, I'm from a tiny little town in Northeast Iowa, 500 people in my hometown.
Wow.
So here I was out on, I know, right? I'm out on the road. I'm going to Oklahoma and Indiana and all these different crazy places. And I come to Philly and I was like, this is the greatest place I've ever been. The tiny little streets, the neighborhoods. I loved working with the ward leaders. I loved all the characters out on the street. I mean, we worked in a storefront that the owner of the Bellevue back then owned. And so that Walnut Street was where I hung out. How I got into film is because of my son, Jake. Jake goes to Drexel to their film school and he starts talking about documentary film and I start to get interested and I love documentaries. He and I used to watch them together. So we had a couple of personal stories that we were trying to turn into documentary films. One of the films that we started with is called Unschooled, and that was supposed to premiere at South By this last March in their EDU conference. And obviously all those things changed. But as Jake and I went along, I was like, hey, you know what? I could do this. I've executive produced. And then I got involved with another film called Night Comes On. Jordana Spiro directed it. Part of that was filmed in Philadelphia. I helped with a lot of that production in terms of being in Philly. That's a very tragic, sad story about a young woman coming out of juvenile detention and foster care. And she witnessed her father kill her mother. And then how in 24 hours, how she changes her life. So that was a big film we got involved. That was a narrative film here and filmed in Philly. So I've been sort of promoting Philly and wanting more production in Philly, especially in terms of documentaries and indies, since I started, which is about 4 years ago.
And she said 4 years, Justin. She said she's been doing it for 4 years.
I know, it's crazy.
I just needed to, okay.
10 producers to watch in 2020 by Variety.
What? Okay, congrats.
It's amazing. Sorry, Justin. And your latest documentary, I can't even describe how much of a role the Eagles play in my life, my family's life, and so many people in Philadelphia's life. So tell us about Maybe Next Year, which we said for every year until 1 year.
Well, again, I have to give credit to my son, Jake, because Kyle Thrash, who directed the film, and Ian Ross, who was one of the producers, they all went to Drexel together. And after the Super Bowl and the big win, Jake comes to me and says, hey, listen, my buddies basically film tailgates, bars, and places throughout part of the season into the playoffs. They had 8 cameras out on the evening of the Super Bowl. So they really had set up this whole thing. And Jake says to me, listen, they've got some footage put together. Would you take a look at it? And again, as an expat in Philly and loving the whole Philly thing, and of course the Eagles, I'm a huge Phillies fan, sports fan in general, I said, of course. So I take a look at it. Now, these are young first-time filmmakers. It's pretty rough footage, but I could see in there the nugget of what the story has become today. And that is, how do we pay tribute to a fan base that is so, I think, misunderstood for the most part out in the world? How can we bring this story of fandom, not just as fans of football, but it's a religion?
It is 100% my
religion. It's green.
My family's religion.
Yeah.
As religion has changed a lot, that's how we gather. That's how we celebrate, you know, and the way it rolls out on Sunday. I mean, it's like something that we hold so dearly and special.
Somebody said the word dynasty after they won the Super Bowl.
People were like, no!
We don't really do dynasties in Philly.
I'm like, let's work on the Sixers now. I don't know.
That's a good place to focus right now. What's next for you? What are you focusing on?
Well, we self-released maybe next year. So that's been a big part of our fall.
So how can people see it?
If you go to maybenextyearfilm.com, there are links to all the SVOD platforms that it's available on. Amazon, Apple, Vudu, YouTube. Ooh. Yeah, we're really proud of a couple of initiatives that we have. We're in our second year of the WAVE grant, and we came up with this last year because in the film industry, it had started to become a thing where how are we going to get people of color and their stories told? Young people especially just don't have the access to the industry that I think they should have. And my producing partner and I joke around, but we're pretty serious about it. We're done going to brunches and these talks about how are we going to get these stories told? We're just going to do it. Right?
Stop just spending time writing a plan and round and round. Action. Just do it.
We had over 100 applicants. We picked a young Hispanic woman. She's got a great animated piece we're working on that obviously COVID has interrupted, but we're back on track with her. And then our deadline was this week for the second round. We had over 75 women apply. We're sifting through those. We're actually working with the Academy on last year's winner, Eliana Pipes, because she also got a grant from the Academy.
I know one thing about Philly is that we are film festival down. And I think even from the Laotian community to Black Star.
Yeah, Black Star actually premiered our film Farewell Amour. Okay. That's coming out on IFC. You know, as much as maybe next year is a love letter to Philadelphia, we feel that Farewell Amour is a love letter to people who have immigrated from other places to try to set up a life here. And what is family mean anyway? And it's extraordinary performances from all the actors. We were just thrilled to be a part of it.
You're doing amazing things. Thank you.
You guys are the best. I really admire your podcast. Love and Grit is what it's all about. And if we could just insert love and effing grit, then we'd be great.
In Philly, when it's time to enjoy, when it's time to celebrate the good times with good company, you gotta break out the good stuff. Have to.
Come football season or your favorite movie, it's time to break out the hers. Crisp and tasty, sour cream and onion, salt and vinegar. Every bag is an invitation to a good time somewhere. No RSVP needed.
So live it up and crunch it down. For the downright fun times and nothing short of the best times, break out the hers. Much like our previous guest, Chef Nock has garnered national attention within a record amount of time since first opening her restaurant, Kalea. It was only last year that the 37-seat BYOB opened, yet it has already been named Best of Philadelphia, garnered attention from the James Beard Foundation, and now her biggest honor yet from Esquire? So we gotta ask.
So Chef, what's it like to be the best new restaurant on Esquire's list for 2020?
Yay!
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So even the normal time, I'd probably be like jumping up and down, screaming and being so, so happy, which, you know, it's made me so happy too. And I feel very honored. And I just feel like there is a hope for us to keep our door open. There's a hope for us to keep our staff employed and serve our community. That being said, I want to express my gratitude to Jeff Gordinier and Kevin Sintumung and the Esquire team for the work of passion that they work really hard to shine the light in this time of the darkness. It's very important for us to get that recognition because it feels like there's someone out there that still appreciates what we are doing in general. You know, not just me at Kalaya, but for all the restaurateurs, we struck very hard with this pandemic and we're trying to make ends meet every day. We're trying to make our customer happy. We're trying to serve the community. So the recognition is really mean a lot. It's mean a world.
So what went into creating your restaurant?
The love and passion for my food. And I think it's a part of being homesick. I created the food first for my neighbor. I cook for my neighbor, and it became my way of communication to my friends. And then I was thinking in a bigger scale, like, would people like the food? And I never have any goal of opening my own restaurant until I found a space. So, you know, nothing much, really.
That's not true, nothing much. Yeah. Describe the food that you serve and why people are going crazy over it.
I don't know why people are going crazy about it.
Well, because it's good.
So good.
Because it's good. Okay. But I think because it's very honest, it's true, it's real flavors, it's real food. And it's the passion and love. And it's not just food, it's the culture. It's the family's recipe that been cooking and sharing for like 100 years. And there was nothing fancy about it. It's just only pure Thai flavor.
I think about those blue dumplings that are one of the most beautiful pictures of anything in Philadelphia. So it's beyond good. It's spectacular looking.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Branzino show.
I just have to say, it was funny even when you said fancy, and I paused because it's like you have such a presence and the way you passionately talk about it and the love you put in it. It's so special and wonderful.
Thank you. I grew up like my grandmother. She will serve me tiny little appetizer when I come home, tiny little snack that she spend the afternoon cook for me and just for me, because when I moved to Bangkok for my high school, she moved to Bangkok with me to take care of me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I get after school. Little stuff, little shumai, little dumpling. It's just like I grew up that way and that's what I love. So for me, it's nothing fancy about it. This is what we eat and this is what I want to bring to the food community in Philadelphia. So this is part of my life. This is my life story to you.
How did you end up in Philly?
Yeah, I was going to say, why are we so lucky to have you?
Oh, I think I'm lucky to be here. I'm lucky that I married to a very loving husband and I moved here because he lived here. Okay. And then I fall in love to Philadelphia. I love Philly. I always tell people that I love Philadelphia. Philadelphia is amazing.
How long have you been here?
I moved here in 2010. Yes, but I've been traveling in and out since 2007.
So you mentioned that you didn't really even think about having a restaurant until you found the location. What was it about the location that you were like, yes, this is it?
It's very cute. It's like big.
You're very cute.
Everything is about the look.
Right?
Yeah. When I saw that space, it's just like, wow, big. Bright window, little chair, little table. The space looks so cozy. And the landlord, Paul and Donna, his wife, they are most amazing people. So that's what made me feel like this is the right place for me.
What's the future hold? I mean, you keep getting rave reviews. You're getting written up in these gigantic articles in national magazines. How do you keep it going? I mean, especially in a pandemic.
My staff. And my customer and my love for my business and the community is kept me going. If we gave up, it means my staff, they'll be losing their job. If we gave up, it means that corner on I and Catherine will be so dark and gloomy. It look really bad for the area. If we give up, it means people will miss one of the great food. So that's kept me going. Someday, I don't want to get out of bed. I'll be so depressed and scared. But then I'm thinking, hey, we have a restaurant to run. I have a lot of dumpling to make. And that just pulled me right out of bed. That dumpling, they're not going to roll themselves. I need to make them. Wait until you see the new dish that we are planning to put it on the menu.
Tell us about it. Give us a sneak preview.
So it's the flat rice noodles that they use in Pasir, but in my hometown, it's one of my favorite dishes. It's called Ratna Super. It's like rich gravy, seafood. We use all kind of big trim fish maw. It's like fish stomach that been dried, but it's very fancy. It's kind of medication. Don't owe. Oh,
okay, I'm sorry. You said stomach.
You know all.
I'm open, chef. I have an open palate. I'm open-minded.
It's 2020. It's pandemic.
You're right.
Exactly. You'll be fine.
Okay.
And crab and branzino or barramundi. We still decide on it. Squid. And we make like rich gravy and with some egg. And we fry that rice noodle until it's crispy. and we serve it in a bowl of the crispy rice noodles and the gravy, and you pour that rich gravy on the rice noodles, okay, and with some Chinese broccoli, and we're gonna do the
I'm sorry, it's cry. Making me it sounds so good, it's making me cry.
And we are going to make our house-made chili sauce, vinegar and chili, and you just add tiny bit of ground chili, tiny bit of that chili sauce, a bit of sugar, a bit of fish sauce, season it while you're eating it. It's a lot.
Oh,
it's
God.
So good.
I forgot to mention Thai food is like my top three, like favorite. I love Thai food.
Make it top one.
Top
no,
one. Okay.
Top one. Yeah, that's okay. It. Okay.
Okay. Are you cooking at home?
Not so much.
You expert. Are you ordering out, chef?
We try to spread the love and wealth. I love Fiori. I love Fiorella. I love Royal Izakaya. Because, you know, this guy, they're just like, they're great chef, they're great friends. And also Pat from Fritz and Stars Philly. You know, all these tiny little business that we need to survive together. So whenever I order takeout or I'm thinking of pastry or whatever, that when I need to go out and grab something, I try to like support my friend and, you know, my beloved fellow chef.
You're an absolute delight. Your restaurant is now a national destination, and we're so happy to have it in Philadelphia and have you in Philadelphia.
And I'm grateful for Philadelphia too. I still in love with Philadelphia each and every day.
Well, we're you in know, love with this you. This is home. So thank you.
Thank you.
Being apart for the holidays is not easy.
Getting a gift for the people you love from the places you love is.
This season, shop Philly's Black-owned business.
And enter to win the ultimate love and grit package full of envy-inducing gifts from some of Philly's best Black-owned businesses.
Enter now at visitphilly.com/podcast.
Rachel, tell us some of the 10 gifts valued at $500 that people can win.
Oh my goodness, there's such an amazing arrangement and lined up. We have Salon Tinchi, you can get a haircut, shampoo. We know that Laia loves an oil treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anybody to oil and rub her head.
Ursula's About Face Rittenhouse Makeup Studio, really cute lip gloss set. We know that we're wearing a lot of masks these days, but when you're home and you're on a Zoom and you want those lips to pop, that would be a special treat. So check it out. There's plenty, plenty of amazing things, even from Harriet's Bookshop, a Culture John long sleeve shirt. We all want to make a statement. So we have plenty of fun gifts.
Enter to win at visitphilly.com/podcast. And we'll talk to you next time on Love and Grit. Bye, everybody.